It was about 10 years ago, and a man by the name of Stuart Manley, he was the owner of a used bookstore in Northumberland, England. He was digging through a box of old books that someone had dropped off. As he reached the bottom of the box, he spotted a piece of colorful paper. It was a poster. The poster was bright red. There was the crown on the poster of King George VI right at the top of it. And right underneath the image of the crown, in bright, bold letters, it read, "Keep calm and carry on." Manley liked the poster. He framed it and he hung it in the window of his bookstore. He researched the poster, and he found out that the poster was created in 1939 by the British Ministry of Information. They had produced that poster just prior to the Blitz, when German planes flew over Great Britain every night, bombing London and other British cities. The poster was printed at a time when there was great devastation. The world had never seen anything quite like it. Air raid sirens jolting citizens awake every night. Citizens hiding in basements and subway stations. Each night, the noise of bombs exploding, fires and destruction all around. And each night, the death toll, it was growing. The British people, along with many people in our world, were terrified. And to make matters worse, most everyone in the world, including the British government, expected that Nazi Germany was on the verge of invading Great Britain at any moment. It may have been about the most frightening time for the British people. And it was just at that time that the British government, the British Ministry of Information, they created that poster. 2.5 million of them to be distributed. The invasion didn't happen. The posters were never distributed. And after the war, they were all destroyed. Except two of them. One of them was found by Stuart Manley at the bottom of that box of old books. The people would walk by his shop and they would see the poster hanging in his window. They were drawn to it and they wanted to know more about it. But he had it reproduced. And it had sold hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of copies. And the message of that poster is so simple. It's very clear. There's no spin. Just keep calm and carry on. The simple message on that poster, it turned out to have great meaning, not just for the British people on the verge of their nation being invaded. But that message, it turns out that it has great meaning for many people. Perhaps all of us. Wherever we live, whatever our troubles. I don't want to trivialize the Blitz in England during World War II. It is unique. It is a one-time experience. But I would guess that all of us, at times, have had a year, or a month, or a week, or a day, when it feels like our lives are changing, that we're under siege, that we're right on the verge of being taken over. The message, it hits home with most people. When you're in that place, keep calm. Carry on. Have you ever felt like things in your life are just coming apart at a rapid pace? Do you feel like that things are coming apart in your life, in our world, at a rapid pace now? Think about our nation. There is so much uncertainty. Uncertainty with the economy. There is partisanship and division that exceeds any other time, it seems, in our nation. There are important questions surrounding marriage and gender and sexuality. There are important questions concerning guns in our nation. There are questions concerning immigration and crime and equality. All of these are at the forefront of our world. And it seems like things just may be coming apart. And in all of this, it seems that our government is all but paralyzed. Maybe our nation needs one of those signs. Keep calm. Carry on. I don't have one of those signs, but if I had a copy, I would love to pull it on the bulletin board here at the church or right on the front of our pulpit. Sometimes we need it here, just a message to keep calm. Carry on. Sometimes I'd like to have one of those signs with my family. I don't have one, but sometimes I'd like to have one with my family. Over the past few weeks, we've made a trip to North Carolina for a large family reunion, and my sister who lives in California, she was visiting this past week, and as we talked about a few Thursday nights ago, family, it's hard. My mom has been in the hospital this past week. She fell at our house last Monday, and she's been in the hospital, and it's a tough time with family, and sometimes I think that message for family to keep calm and carry on is appropriate. And today's reading from Isaiah chapter 6, it reminds us that often that this world is a turbulent and unsettling place. It's true in our time, in our context, and it's true for Isaiah in his time. Isaiah the prophet was not immune. Isaiah, where we find him here in the 6th chapter, he was in the middle of one of those years or months or weeks or days. One of those times that you just don't forget as long as you live. Kind of like the day that you lose your job. Or it's kind of like the day that the phone, it rings too early in the morning or too late in the evening. And you're not surprised when the voice on the other end is struck with grief. It's one of those days when you sit across from your doctor and even before the doctor speaks, you can see the trouble coming. And you weren't surprised when he began his sentence with the words, "I'm sorry, the tests just don't look as good as we had hoped they would." Every person has had one of those days or months or years like this. You'll remember that year. And when we find Isaiah the prophet in chapter 6, this is his day, his year. This is the day that for Isaiah and for the nation, the unbelievable news had spread through the land. King Uzziah is dead. Uzziah had been Judah's king for 52 years. The nation had known great prosperity and power. The nation had extended its borders. They had lived in peace. Money flowed. Times were good. And then, the bold headline announced, "Your king, your security, King Uzziah, is dead." This was big news. This is far bigger news than the election of a new president or even the death of a president, because we elect a president every 4 years. King Uzziah had been king for 52 years. It was one of those days for Isaiah. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. It was that year when everything seemed to be turning upside down, when everything seemed to be changing, when Isaiah felt like he was losing control. And everything that he had hoped for and banked on seemed to be slipping away. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It was at this time of despair, this time of upheaval, this time of loss of hope and turmoil and despair and pain and uncertainty about the future, that Isaiah, maybe he was just carrying on. He goes to the temple. And maybe he was there and the room was full. Maybe he was there and he was alone. But when he's in the temple, he sees God. He experiences God's presence. He catches a glimpse of a deeper reality. And he sees that his world, the whole world, it's full of God's glory. And it turns out that this story is not about King Uzziah at all. But this passage is given to us, and it's about the God who makes the earth shake. The God who fills the air with fire and smoke. It's about our God who is so awesome that the prophet falls down on his face, believing that he is doomed. And this is not just Uzziah's God. This is not just Isaiah's God. But he is the God that we worship. He is our God. He is God Almighty, God Eternal, God over all, God forever, the three in one. He is the one who holds you in his hand. He is the one who would never let anyone snatch you away from him. One of my good friends said, he is the one who has your back. His power is above whatever you face today. His power is above your fear and your anxiety. And even though this world may change and shift and move, his love for you is always unchanging. Maybe God is saying to us in this story that even though your world may be changing, even though this world is a frightening place, even though you don't even know what to expect, that even though many around you are losing faith or hope, that God will show up. And right at the point that you are about to give up or give in or walk away, that is the moment that we catch a full glimpse and see God's glory. The Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu was being interviewed by Krista Tippett on her radio show On Being. He was talking about the apartheid in South Africa and how he and so many other Christians fought that there, and the difficulty that they faced and the exhaustion, the discouragement that they felt at times. And he said, you know, just at that moment, when we didn't even feel like we could catch our next breath, the God of all surprises, played his most extraordinary and incredible hand. And there are people in our church family, there are people in this room right now that if we had the time, they could tell us about that difficult time, that moment, day, that week, that year, when they didn't expect to see God, that they weren't even expecting to hear God, but he showed up, and there was glory, and they had hope. How easy it is for us to forgive this, but our lives, our family, our church, the nation, our world, it doesn't so much rest on all we do or what we believe or how we feel or what we think, but it rests on God. God appearing, God working. I received a periodical some time ago for Christians, for preachers. It contained an article by a great preacher, a great pastor. He preaches to a lot of people every weekend. And in this article, he talks about how the pastor should teach their congregation to get more out of worship. He says that you need to tell your people that when they come to worship, they need to come with a sense of purpose. It needs to be purpose-driven worship. And you need to tell them, don't just show up, you need to prepare. People need to start meditating on Saturday night for worship on Sunday. And after that, they need to focus. You need to tell them when you show up, don't show up to criticize. Don't come and be critical of the choir or the preacher, especially the preacher. He didn't write that. He said, you've got to come with a spirit that is teachable and a heart that is open. He said, you need to tell your people that you need to bring a notepad and a pencil with you to worship. And you need to take notes during church. And then when you leave and you sit at Sunday dinner, you share your notes and you talk about what you've learned with others in your family, others at the table. And you share ideas that you came away from. And I read that article and I'm thinking, my goodness, it's all many churches can do to just get people to show up. They're not going to do homework. But I read this and I think about it. There's something missing in the article. And what's missing is God. Because what if life, and what if worship, and what if church, what if family, what if it's not so much what we do, but it's about what God does? And what if you can come prepared and seeking in earnest? Do all the right things. But what if it's still not worship until God shows up? What if it's a guilt? I'm going to guess that there's more people here today this morning who believe in Jesus Christ, not because that we've studied the world's religions and found Christianity to be the most valid, or because you have gone through this study or that study and realized the superiority of the Baptist way over Methodism. I'm going to guess that many of Christ's followers, that the reason that most of us are still a disciple, we may not be able to explain exactly why. You can just say, well, you know, for reasons I don't really understand. You know, it was that year or that month or that day when it seemed that everything had turned upside down. That God just showed up. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't asking for it. But before I knew it,
God had asked him.
God was present. It was all I could do was keep calm
and carry on. And God showed up.
How was I to know it? God showed up. Let us pray. Kind and loving God, we thank you that you come and you act and you speak and you move and you die. We thank you, God, that it may even be in the year that we thought everything had ended, that we had lost hope, that everything had changed. But then you show up. I pray, Almighty God, that we will encounter you as that God who speaks and moves and calls us to fall on our knees. In the name of Jesus, I pray.